Javi, my emotions are everywhere. It's just so much is happening, good and bad, today in cannabis. I mean, we're going to touch on an interview today with an executive that has some awesome news. Super excited about that. But there's some news today that's getting me down, man. It's just, let's dive right in. Also, what's up, y'all? Welcome in. Javier Jase, the Argentinian action figure, is here to answer all of your cannabis news-related items. Drop a question in the chat if you have any questions about cannabis whatsoever. Javi's also going to do another product review. Two in 1 week. It's the first two ever. You're overachieving.
I don't think so. I just have a bunch of cannabis paraphernalia, most of which I don't really use.
Well, now's your chance. Now for all the product reviews. That's awesome. That'll be at the end of the show. We're going to let Javi roll through that. But I'm going to let you roll, but I want to start with Amazon, man. Friggin' Amazon. I mean, they're toying with my emotions. They're slowly saying you can't buy drug paraphernalia, but their definition of that is obviously, unfortunately, expanding. What's going on there, Javi?
It's like, to quote Lin-Manuel Miranda, it's like Francis, Rachel, and Ross, will they or won't they? It's eternal. It's a never-ending battle between good and evil. But it's disappointing. They seem to be banning grinder sales, which to me is so like 15 years ago. like 15 or like 10, 12 years ago.
There have been grinders on Amazon for a decade.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a long time.
Paraphernalia wasn't at one point illegal and seen as a way of incentivizing consumption. We know of a lot of people who had their stores closed, like Josh Kesselman, founder of Raw, and even people who went to jail for it, like Tommy Chong, who went to prison for paraphernalia. Things had changed recently, and Amazon, which seemed to be over the last couple of years pretty pro-cannabis in many ways, supporting legalization vocally, not testing its employees, suddenly came out with this decision that is a little bit boggling.
It's weird. It's mind-boggling. I mean, I loved Leafly's article on this. I mean, it was hysterical. They listed out all the drug paraphernalia and items that you use for cannabis, and it included Ziploc bags. It included water bottles, included apples, Honey Crisp apples.
I mean, to be very, very honest, you can usually, people do use Ziploc bags for other things. I don't know how many people are using herb grinders to grind their herbs, right? It's not like I really grind my rosemary. I got to be very honest.
I would be impressed if you did. I'm not going to lie, Javi. If you grind your rosemary, drop a one in the chat. I want to know who grinds the rosemary here. All right, Javi, there's a lot of news today, though. The last thing from me, and then I'm going to let you lightning round for a few minutes. We didn't get a chance to talk about it on Tuesday because we turned our show off. And then later that evening, Canopy Growth comes out and says, you know what, Canada, we're done with having a home. We're going to travel around. We can do some e-commerce action, but we're not going to have a home base.
That's an interesting way to put it.
I know. I mean, it's a relationship, right? Consumer and company. Canopy changed how they conduct that relationship. On Tuesday. What are your thoughts, man? I mean, it didn't really do much either way to the share price.
So here's what I'm thinking. So for context, Canopy Growth Corporation, which trades in Canada under the ticker WEED, which I love, and CGC on the New York Stock Exchange, announced that it's divesting its retail businesses across Canada, including the stores operating under the Tweed and Tokyo Smoke retail banners, which to me is the most surprising thing, because they invested a bunch of money into developing Tweed, and they spent more than $600 million, I believe, if I don't remember wrong, buying Tokyo Smoke.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget Supreme. I mean, it's like $600 million, right? Roundabouts on Supreme.
Yeah, it's another interesting divestment. What I understand is that they're going to try and sell, right, these dispensaries.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything about the purchase price. So I would want to see, honestly, only be able to judge if this move was good or bad, if it was smart or not, depending on how much money they get for their retail banks. If they get $2 billion.
Well, and like I said on Wednesday Cannabis Daily, Canada retail is not a crown jewel of anybody's balance sheet. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing when looking at the overall breadth of the company and their reach, especially with their subsidiaries like BioSteel, that's continually getting bigger and better and stronger, but it's not necessarily directly related to cannabis. So there's a lot going on with that company.
Yeah, but here's my thought, right? Over the past year, every investor panel I've been on, every operator panel I've been on, I heard the same thing. Brands will be the ultimate winners of cannabis legalization. Brands. Tweed and Tokyo Smoke are two of the most popular brands in cannabis, not just in retail, but especially in retail. Tokyo Smoke was actually the first brand in retail, way before cookies even existed, I think, right? What is it, right? Is it that they're betting for CPG and brands, or are they not? Because money is still invested into cultivation and retail. According to Viridian Capital Advisors, 90% of dollars invested in cannabis are still going to cultivation and retail. Their investors are not investing in the brands they say will be the winners, and the operators are divesting their brands.
Yeah, but what is the actual brand right now? I mean, yeah, you think of a brand and something that's consumable, but the brands that are fighting right now are the actual storefronts. High Tide is the brand. Cookies is the brand. And people fight to have that Cookies brand, but what they're fighting for is to be associated with their storefront. And Trulieve. I mean, Trulieve is their brand. You know, for me, brands are winning. It's just not the consumable brands. It's the brick and mortar brands.
Fair enough.
That's my thought, at least. That's my words of maybe questionable wisdom for today. All right, Javier, let's dive in, man. Canopy Growth can keep us talking this entire half-hour show, but you got a two-minute lightning round here.
Yeah. So Japan is inching toward cannabis legalization, and we did an article analyzing which companies could benefit from this move. You can check it out on benzinga.com/cannabis. Benzinga.com/cannabis for your daily dose of cannabis news. What happened in Japan is a Japanese health ministry panel recommended that marijuana-derived medicines be treated the same as pharmaceuticals, right? The idea is to make it sync with all other policies in Japan and international policies. But this is mostly for pharma type drugs. Mm-hmm. So go check out the article after this show to find out which brands could be the ones companies would be the ones that would benefit the most from a move in Japan. Some other lightning round news items. We did a very, very interesting feature based on a chat by Marco Algorta of Bienstar Wellness. I mentioned them in the past. Brazil, they do ibogaine and ketamine therapy for addiction in Brazil in hospital settings. And we did a very interesting article on psychedelics to treat addictions. And one quote that really stuck with me is, we have patients who arrive dragging chains and leave making jokes. Benzinga.com/cannabis for more details on that. We also did a very interesting chart of the week in partnership with Viridian Capital Advisors on how illiquid cannabis companies really are. And we spoke with Raekwon of Wu-Tang Clan and NBA star Chris Webber about cannabis and their new venture in Michigan.
That's very cool.
Yeah, my main ones. Oh, I have a couple more, actually.
Michigan's an awesome market right now, by the way. Wouldn't you say, like, Michigan, maybe Arizona are really the two top markets at the moment?
Super interesting. I don't know the top markets, but definitely.
Well, I guess it depends on how you define top. Yeah.
Zebra Brands is days away from becoming the first mover in the Mexican CBD market. And a very interesting story by Nico Rodriguez that says that medical implants could one day be made of CBD or polycannabinoids.
How big is that Zebra news? Out of curiosity for you, Mexican market is the fifth largest consumer market in the world, and they're really the first ones, right? I mean, that's huge.
It's so here are my reservations, right? It all it all relates to so it seems to be some kind of exception every time, right? So court authorities directed COFEPRIS, which is the health regulatory agency in Mexico. I was going to say Mexico, in Mexico, to allow Zebra Brands to get these irrevocable permits to commercialize their CBD products. But I'm always worried regarding exceptions and legal injunctions, you know, versus steady regulation.
Here's what I'll say. An interesting watch lister for investors watching. Zebra, that's XBRAF on the OTC. Not necessarily one we talk about all the time or a lot for that matter at all. But I think you got to pay attention to anything that's a first mover into Mexico. So yeah, Javi, with that, man, I'm cutting you off. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Am I frozen? I keep freezing on my screen. Okay. Let's do it. Javier, let's welcome on the CEO of Safe Harbor Financial, Sundy Seafree. Welcome in, Sundy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're happy to have you.
Great day to have Miss Sundy Seafried, CEO of Safe Harbor Financial, on Benzinga Cannabis Insider. Today, you made your debut on the NASDAQ of all exchanges. Oh, mama. Let's hear it up for Safe Harbor on the
chat. Yes, everybody give him a round of applause.
We don't have a live audience yet.
I know, I wish, right? Sundy, how do you feel? I ask this for everybody, which everybody, I'll be in like three people in my life. You're on the NASDAQ now. How do you feel?
Oh, wow. I am relieved. The process was so very complicated, far more than I would have ever envisioned or thought you'd have to go through a reverse merger. But I will tell you that I can relate to our clients now very well, right? All those reverse mergers they did in Canada. Now I understand what they did.
Well, congratulations. What is the ticker? It's Northern Lights Acquisition, which was a SPAC. I think it's NLIT. Is that correct?
It switched over to SHF, Safe Harbor Financial Services, SHFS.
SHFS. SHFS. Well, everybody write that down. So I'm going to start here, Javi. There has been a wave of kind of debt providers and lenders maybe toying with the financial markets, the public markets, I should say, over the past year. Why now? Like why somehow I feel like I put it on hold, but you continued with it. Was there something that this was the right time for you, or is it the right time for debt? I'm curious, why now?
Actually, it's both. We started with depository services 8 years ago, and it took that long to get our regulators comfortable with the industry and train them and make sure that they were comfortable. And so we knew that a lot of other people were starting to jump in for the debt service. And the reason they want that is because that's the relationship every financial institution wants. It's the longevity of the relationship. It's sticky. And we too wanted that. So we needed to launch it at the same time. And we went out there. But the other part of that is in our strategy to move forward, it's a major role in terms of what we're going to do, because it's the biggest profitable line of business we can bring to the table right now to bring value to our shareholders. And so that is going to get launched and loaded, and that will allow us to really enact our M&A strategy, which we find very robust.
Since we're talking about money, right, and you've been around for a while in the industry and looking at money flows in the industry, do you have any perspective into how capital influx has evolved over the years when it comes to the industry?
Oh, wow. Let's just say it scared me when it started. By the way, I'm still seeing loans at 30%. We're refinancing these loans from 30% down to anywhere 8%, 9%, 11%, depending on the collateral. We still see that hard money lending, and we want to actually normalize that like we normalized banking services. But as far as the capital coming in, it was so interesting because in 2018, I think that was really hard for the mom and pops to begin with and the whole emerging market. And then all of a sudden in 2018, you saw all these Canadian companies coming in. And we were banking a lot of Florida clients at that point in time. And I was just watching these companies flip. But the real interesting thing was they needed to get tens of millions of dollars over the border. That was a problem. And nobody would touch that money. The banks wouldn't pass it through. And so they were calling us. There wasn't a week going by. We weren't getting a call for, can you take in $80 million, $60 million? And we were just a small credit union. That's a lot of money to take on the balance sheet, right? And figure out how to maintain your ratios. So I actually was a little nervous, but at the same time, following the industry and their needs, I went to the AG Association. And I'd been working with the attorneys general already. And I said, the money's going to come over the border. Nobody wants to take it, but I've got to take it because we're serving these clients. So we started being the conduit and set the standard that it was okay to take this money over the border. And then you had to distinguish between proceeds from the sale of cannabis versus investment funds. And we could prove the investment funds were investor funds. And then we started seeing the public entities and the whole issue that came out of that was ownership, right? Because as financial institutions, we have to make sure not one illicit dollar goes into the market, goes into the financial system. So now you've got a public company, and how do you know who's buying on a public company? That's where it gets a little difficult, right? So the actual knowing your customer is really important. We've seen a slowdown in terms of capital coming into the industry at this point in time, which I think everybody knows that, especially I'm preaching to the choir here, right? And so we are thinking it's the perfect time to be providing debt. But we're going in conservative. It's important for us to set a good standard. We want to do loans that are really collateral based. And you know, there's a great opportunity across the country. What I'm finding, though, is there are people trying to get in the middle of this. And for introductions, some of these companies are having to pay 1% or 2% just for an introduction. And I'm trying to figure out a way that we can go direct to these companies and make sure the companies know they can come direct to us and try to normalize the process of obtaining debt facilities.
I have kind of a tough question, but it's one that I need to ask, right? I'm from Argentina. I live in Argentina. It's a country that has anywhere between 60 and 80, 90 or 100% annual inflation. You just mentioned an 8% loan, and inflation in America now suddenly has become an issue. One that is being discussed, it's anywhere between like 8 and 8.5%. And you just mentioned an 8% loan. How does that work?
Well, obviously, we're in a rising rate environment. That works really well for us. So, but again, at the same, you know, and that obviously slows down lending opportunities, but not when you're talking about the cannabis industry, not when they're out there with 30%. There's just so much opportunity, not when they've got so much cash invested in their operations and their buildings that they need access to that capital to actually grow their entities. So I think we're still in a very good, even though there's inflation, you're going to realize that in terms of projections and you know how each operation performs, they're going to feel it more than we are. But we're seeing good, steady growth, and we are seeing some inflationary effects in terms of sales, in terms of our clients. And I think that will probably spur mergers and acquisitions in the industry even further.
Can you talk a little bit, and then we have a couple of questions in the chat that I want to get to as well, but can you talk a little bit about, you know, as equity, whenever it does decide to make an upswing again, how does that affect lenders and the debt side? Because I feel like you all are still massively important to the growth of businesses. So, you know, as people have found out that the debt has really kept this industry going this year in 2022, but as equity takes an upswing, what does that do? Does that correlate at all with Safe Harbor and other lenders?
I think if there's a choice, obviously debt is preferred. How many operators have you heard just have to give away so much of their business to get
so much?
So much. You've seen them get, I'm sorry, I hate to use this word, but some of them have gotten raped in terms of losing ownership over equity. And so debt is definitely preferred, I think, always will be preferred. So unless people have, unless they want to give up some of their equity in their company. And right now, I don't think that's what they want to do. So I think that unless we're not on the public market now, that's a whole different story, right?
Yeah. And then 8-9%. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I know most of the major lenders in this industry, and they're not averaging 8-9 to 11%. So that's a pretty stellar rate. So a couple questions from the chat from Travis Owens. Is there any debt financing for ancillary cannabis companies? Obviously, that could be a wide variety of companies, but I'd love to your answer.
And easier. Absolutely. So we have an entire ancillary program, and we have no problem. We don't have to go through the hoops that we have to go through for cannabis companies there. Much more difficult for a cannabis company to get a loan than ancillary.
Absolutely. That plant touching moniker is never helpful. And then from James in the chat, Sunny, do you finance new construction for indoor grows?
We have, but you know, it's based upon a combination of some real estate and some construction, not necessarily all construction. So again, we have to start out conservative, and now is not the time for us to be aggressive and, you know, not establish a solid foundation. So we're in the midst of establishing a solid foundation. What we've told our investors is that we are going to focus on good, solid senior secured lending. And we need to follow through with what we've promised them. But it doesn't mean we're not doing construction. It just depends on, one, how well we know the client, how long they've been banking with us, because that's really important to us to know the client, the business, the money, the owners, and the performance. And what we're finding is a lot of companies don't have their financials in really good order. And I will say, if there's one thing, one takeaway here, you've got to have solid accounting, solid projections, solid everything on that side of the house. So, you know, don't try to save money there.
Looking forward, you know, for both in terms of safe harbor and the industry in general, what can we expect for 2023?
I think you'll see more access to capital on the debt side. I do. I think the financial institutions aren't willing to give that up. And in a raising rate and environment, this is an entire industry that's been underserved for, 8-9 years now? So opportunity is huge. But I also think you're going to see some of those other harder money lenders have to get competitive with their rates and more conservative, because the risk is increasing just because of the market performance right now.
Elliot, anything else? Did I lose?
I'm sorry, my sometimes my mute button freezes and I can't get it to unclick. Awesome. So I guess for me, talk to just a bit about the level of cannabis company that you're seeing. Is any level of cannabis company thriving right now in terms of, is it the private single state operators? Are the tier one MSOs still really the only ones that are, you know, able to get a low percentage in the industry? Is there a level that we should be looking to as those that pay attention to the industry when it comes to cannabis companies?
Actually, I think it varies across the board. Certainly, I think the mom and pops have the most difficult time. I think those who aren't vertically integrated have a more difficult time. So I think the vertical integration is huge in terms of having a long-term plan and good projections, because you're not relying on sourcing your product from somebody else. That doesn't mean that some that are sourcing everything aren't doing well as too. So we're seeing it across the board. But I would have to say it's the small operators that are hurting the most, but doesn't mean they can't get credit and they can't get access to capital. But multi-state operators, you know, I don't see a lot of positive income there and a lot of positive income.
Touche, yeah. Sunday. Touche. Yeah.
You know, we bankers like income, right?
Yeah, that's fair. There's only a few with maybe some interestingly positive balance sheets. I have one follow-up to that. So, and then kind of last question from me. As, you know, as we move into any type of legislation, you know, there's been several comments from like a Tim Seymour and some of these media personalities that if SAFE is not passed or any type of financial reform is not passed for this industry this year, that puts that much more pressure on small and medium-sized businesses. Is there relief for that through what you do, or is there a way for these companies to find relief in what you do?
Well, in terms of depository services, the pricing pressure is on. So they're getting relief presently between financial institutions and opportunities. That's there already. I can tell you because we're feeling the same thing. One of the other reasons going into lending is so important to us is because we've got to replace that depository fee with loan income now. Safe banking isn't going to change or give relief to anybody. It may bring more options in, but that's not the elephant in the room. The real elephant in the room is bank secrecy, and that's not tied to SAFE. Right now, what SAFE will do for me is it will take away that prosecution risk. I can be prosecuted for being a money launderer right now, but SAFE will take that away from financial institutions. But look at cannabis businesses like money service businesses, casinos, check cashers, gas stations, cash intensive businesses. Banks and credit unions shy away from those because they're very complex and BSA on those is very difficult. So, and if you were to Google what money service businesses, you would find they still have a hard time getting bank accounts and keeping them. So it's a complex process, and cannabis is going to be complex for some time. As long as banking is, once banking is optimized and black market is minimized, you're going to see relief.
Amen. Anything else that we should look for from, SHVS. Is that right?
Safe Harbor Financial.
SHFS. Sorry, I'm good with tickers. I'm getting better. And I will never forget that one again. SHFS, anything we should look for from the public vehicle moving forward for the rest of the year?
Yeah, what I'm really excited about, because you really have your hands tied during that whole process. So I'm not used to sitting on my hands for a year.
So, welcome back, Sunday. Welcome back.
Opening and we are really excited to be talking to potential partners down the road at this point in time, because there's a lot of single service providers out there who are ready to consolidate too and offer relationship pricing and access to reliable financial services across the board. So I'm pretty excited about the M&A strategy forthcoming.
Fantastic. Lots to look forward to. Sundie Seafried, CEO, Safe Harbor Financial, newly on the NASDAQ. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Javi, initial thoughts. Also, thank you to the chat, Travis, Bruce, James, awesome questions.
Yes. S-F-H.
Nope. S-H-F-S. S-H-F-S.
I was quizzing you.
Shivs. You, of course you were. Awesome. Initial reaction before we get to the one and only Javier's product review.
I found it all very interesting. I like to see this move toward DEP, of course, for those who run companies, many times equity is tempting because you're not on the hook for anything, but it does imply giving out or giving away a big chunk of your company.
Especially right now, a bigger chunk than in a normal time.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
It's a sign of maturity. I love seeing more and more companies in the cannabis space trade on major U.S. exchanges. I think the tide is moving in the right direction.
Look at this. Travis Owens emailing Safe Harbor right now. I'm pumped about that, Travis. Ooh. Email in cannabishour@benzinga.com if you all decide to do business together. And of course, it can be public information. Let us know. We love knowing what happens through our channels. That being said, I am taking a back seat. I know it's hard. It's hard for me. I talk a lot. It just comes. It's a waterfall. But Javier, to you, my friend, let's do it.
So just like we did last show where we did a review of the Puffco proxy, go check it out if you haven't. Very interesting review, I think. Today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Chill Steel Pipes. A little bit of a disclosure. None of these companies have paid or will pay for reviews. At least won't pay me.
Never say will, but they have not paid.
They have not paid for reviews. So these are completely unbiased. I'm starting with some of my favorite products that I've gotten. I will also get into some negative reviews in a couple of weeks, if not next week. I would like to know if from people in the chat if they also want negative reviews or just my favorites. Today we're talking about chill steel pipes. Here's one. It's a bong. Here's a different one. It's also a bong.
It's a bong.
What's interesting about this steel pipe, they claim to be the first stainless steel vacuum insulated smoking apparatus. What I really, really like about this is it's modular. So it means you can unscrew every part, replace it, use other accessories, either made by the brand or by other brands. It's cool because on the outside, there's steel and durable. On the inside, it's, I think, porcelain.
It looks ceramic.
I couldn't find the right word. Very interesting. It's insulated. You can put ice in there. It lasts for hours. You can, again, use different accessories. It's great. It's got great pull. I love it. And it's the downstem and bowl are also quite interesting, as you can see.
Is that the same for the other pipe too?
It's exactly the same. Let's unscrew this one. Also, I got them in the mail in Argentina. They're easy to mail because they're modular, so you can unscrew them. And they look great. When people come over to my house, they go, "What is that?" And I tell them, it's not...
Translation.
It is a bong.
Translation to that, Javi, when they say, "What is that?" That actually means, yo, we breaking that out tonight?
Well, I am not much of a bong person. You can see they're very clean. I've tried these a couple of times and really love them. I think, you know, it's important that the materials are good and that, you know, the steel exterior really keeps the interior safe. But at the same time, you get that feeling that you're smoking from ceramic, both when you place your mouth on it as well as the effect and the smoke itself. I am considerably much more into ceramic and glass than metal for everything, not just cannabis accessories. So this is one of my favorites.
Very
cool. Chill steel bongs. I think you can find them at chill.store. Also good name, good website.
Very nice. We got to get Chill involved in our events. Those are some cool products. Do they make anything other than bongs?
I don't think so. Let's
TBD.
I think bongs in every color. There's pink, there's gold, there's a rainbow mirror. Yeah, they have like some other stuff, but it's mostly like a mix and match kind of thing. Then they have some ice cube tray sets, an ash catcher, and that's about it. Basically,
nice.
they really focus on these bongs and some accessories around the bong itself, which I like. I think, you know, when a company is very focused, they get the design right. And I think they did get the design right. And actually, for next show, I already know what I'm reviewing. I'm not going to tell you which it is, but it's a pipe, a regular pipe that also got its design and engineering extremely right.
Awesome. So, Javier, 1 to 0, zing being 5 stars. What are you rating Chill?
Zing.
Zing, 5-star products from Javi. All right, Chill, well done. Awesome, y'all. If you guys have any products you want Javier to review, I know the man would like to review them, but they have to be ancillary products to make it to Argentina. So keep that in mind, unless you want to figure out how to get him, you know, some Jeter pre-rolls or something.
So I actually stole a lot of airtime from you, but you do have your own show. Where can we find it?
Cannabis Daily. Subscribe. Benzinga Cannabis Daily Newsletter. Make sure you go Google that. Subscribe. Benzinga Cannabis Daily Newsletter. Make sure to subscribe. Did I say subscribe? So there's a newsletter, and then there's 2 podcasts, y'all. We got this one. We just moved up to number 9 on FeedSpot for best cannabis podcast. Thank you all for making that happen. Cannabis Daily is nowhere near that. I don't think it's even on the list yet, but it is 5 minutes every morning of what's happening that day in cannabis stocks and cannabis regulatory and legislative news. 5 minutes. Join us every morning, Benzinga Cannabis Twitter, Benzinga Cannabis LinkedIn, or on your favorite podcast platform. With that being said, none of this would happen without Javier Hase. Read all of his articles, benzinga.com/cannabis, bzcannabis.com to join us in Miami in April for our next event. And we out. I think we're done, Javier. Are we good?
We are good. See you next Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific for another episode of Benzinga Cannabis Insider.
Boom. And thank you, Producer AT. Peace.